Live Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 21. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Luke chapter 21, we're talking about do not be deceived, because Jesus talked about do not be deceived. So we're just echoing his words in real time here today. Interestingly enough, we can hardly get away from the Bible talking about the last days. And you know, nothing's more interesting to talk about than what's in fashion. Right now, the last days are kind of in fashion because we're in them, and it's best to know what to anticipate and so forth. We should remind ourselves of where we were last week, and that was in chapter 21. We've revisited our study in Luke, which we departed from about the time COVID decided to move into the neighborhood. We began to talk about what was going on at that time from a biblical perspective and how to understand it. So it's about this time we're getting back to the book of Luke. And in chapter 20, we saw that there was a question of authority. The Pharisees, the scribes, they all came to Jesus and said, "By what authority do you do these things?" And we noted that the real issue was not by what authority was he doing these things, but rather, how in the world are you doing these things? Because he was raising the dead and healing the sick on every level. And he was just remarkable. And here they are all worried about the authority issue. Well, anyway, we went through the whole chapter and we saw that there were several people that were in there that had to deal with that authority issue. John the Baptist, he shows us the authority that God had given him to baptize with a baptism of repentance. God himself and how he deals with authority. He's the one who's the husbandman and he's got a vineyard he lends out. We saw that Caesar's got a coin, render unto Caesar. There's some authority you can understand. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. We saw that Moses, you know, he was also part into the discussion because they asked about, you know, a woman had seven brothers that she had to marry because each one died. And, you know, they had that law in Israel that somebody had to raise up children to his name. And he said, but Moses this. And he gave Moses as an authority. He said, Christ, whose son is he? David calls him Lord. What I'm saying to you is chapter 20 is all about authority. And what you have is an authority in your life. In America, we're like the judges' days where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So we've lost our authority. The plumb line today is, what's your truth? Thank you, Oprah. Well, I appreciate your truth. That's your truth. Nobody can argue with your truth. Yes, they can. I can admit you can have two answers to the same question. However, I can't admit that they're probably both right. You can have two wrong answers, but you can't usually have two right answers to the same question. This is a crazy day because they've changed the paradigm. They've changed the whole game for us, and we don't even know where to stand. So it's a good reminder. What is your authority? By what authority do you do these things? Well, this is not the end of his day because it says in verse 1 of chapter 21, and he looked and saw, because he's in the temple teaching, according to chapter 20 and verse 1. He's in the temple and he looks and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. Keep your eye on the word gifts. The Bible says they were casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God. But she, of her penury, has cast in all the living that she has. And he said, and as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said. A reason I read that last verse, because it doesn't seem to fit, but it's a continuum. The word gifts comes back in. Now, when you think of Jesus assessing what's going on at the offering plate, did you ever think he did? He's watching what you give. He's watching how I give. He's watching our gifts. He's watching our hearts. He's watching why we're giving. How we're giving. What we're giving. You know, so it's a big thing. Somebody got a new refrigerator. They say, I'm going to take the old one down to the church. Well, maybe you ought to give the new one to the church. Okay, I'm just saying. Why are you giving the junk one? Okay, it's all beat up. You don't want it anymore. You take it to the Goodwill. You know, people do this. They give what God's talking about over in Malachi. It talks about you bring the lambs that's got a bruise and a bad eye, and you bring it down for an offering. You know, what is that all about? No, we need to realize that gifts kind of amplifies the giver rather than the one who's receiving. If you think you're giving a gift to the church, then maybe you might want to keep it. Because God sees that as almost an insult. Because all the fullness of the earth is the Lord's. All of it's His. He doesn't need anything from us. It's our privilege because He gives us strength to make the money, to get the food, to get the strength, to go make the money, to get the food, to get the money, to go get the food. It's a cycle. And you and I need to get down on our knees and say, God, I don't deserve any of this. Look how good You got it. Look how wonderful it is. You've got clickers and air conditioning and you've got cars and you've got all this cool stuff. You got motorcycles. You've got toys. You've got the games. You've got everything. Well, I think I could give God something. Now, when you look at this, what's this about? Well, in verse 1, the Bible says, He looked and He saw the rich men casting in their gifts into the treasury. Immediately, my mind goes back to the Old Testament when you see Josiah trying to replenish and refurbish a temple that had laid in ruins. And so all the people began to bring money into a box with a hole in it. And they had more money than they knew what to do with because the people had a heart to give at one point. They had to be asked, oh, don't bring anymore. We got plenty. Well, that's kind of a sign of revival, isn't it? When God opens the heart, He opens the hand. You will not hear me preach much about giving. Because if it's not in the Scriptures, I'm not here to tell you to give. I've already got the message. I already got the letter. I give. I give because I love my Lord. Because it's His anyway. Because He gives me the strength to make the money, to get the food, to get the strength to make the money. I'm telling you, I already get it. But maybe some of us don't. You see, God is not, you know, honored by you giving something that you figure it's, you know, I'll give Him a five. I'll give Him a fiver. You know, I'll give Him a buck. Is that all the thought you put into it? You need to go back and assess. The Bible says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and see if I won't pour you out a blessing. He says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Have you ever found that you've got nickel and dime together to death sometimes? It's like, man, this thing went bad, that thing broke, and I had to build a new one, I had to fix that. I want you to know that's part of life. That's going to be there, right? It's going to be there whether you give or don't. But boy, you sure feel it a little bit more when you know you weren't giving like you should. Oh man, I remember the guy who went into the hospital. He had those kidney stones. He had a bunch of them. They got them in. They put them in a little bottle and rattling around. The preacher came in. He picked it up and he rattled and said, well, the Lord will get those tithes and offerings out of you somehow. My heart is for you. And I just say the blessing is in the giving. It's not about the gift. It's about the one you've given to. He's honored by you when you honor from a heart that is full. The Bible says God loves a cheerful giver, right? The Greek word for cheerful is hilarious. And you say, well, you said bring all the tithes. I know you're smart. You know, oh man, we don't tithe because we're not under the law. No, the Bible says the tithe was already the Lord's. Tithe was already the Lord's. Grace is bigger than the law. It was done before the law with Melchizedek. There was no law. Abraham, he hadn't brought forth Moses yet. There was no mandate. He said, I'm going to give you a tenth of everything I got in this battle. I just fought. He set a precedent. And the Bible says even Aaron tithed because he was yet in the loins of Abraham. Guys, listen, this is not rocket science. It's an issue of you and me being obedient, just on the basic level. We're not smarter than God. Let's just do what comes easy. Take the simple answer, because typically it's the right one. And what we're saying here is these people gave. Now, I thought about those people who were having revival. You know, everybody wanted to give. And what's going on in Jesus' day is, remember, Herod's temple's in the mix of being built. It's been worked on for 40 years. He's been beautifying it. If you remember, the post-exilic temple was kind of puny compared to Solomon's. It never really found its place next to that. But God had said, this one, this little one here, this little Charlie Brown temple, that's going to outshine Solomon's. Because of the glory that will be in it. And nobody understood it. They just had to believe it. And a few hundred years later, Jesus walked in. That's better than a Shekinah glory. Jesus was there. And He's there in this picture. And what He's saying is, He's saying you need to recognize that this thing's going on and you guys are all caught up in it. And these rich men, they're saying, well, I'll give. I'll make the temple better. I had a guy come to me once. We were building in Pennsylvania. He came to me once and he said, preacher, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to donate all of the plumbing fixtures. I'm going to do that. He was a plumbing guy. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, this had never happened to me before. Okay, because we always were just kind of simple, do things as you can afford it. I knew what it felt like to be played. I was being played. Because he had left the church at one point and had abruptly left. And he had kind of wounded the church a little bit by his abruptness. and he was trying to buy his way back in. And I said, well, that's good. That's good. Whatever you want to do, man, that's great. But I didn't need it. Jesus had me. He's got plumbing stuff. Okay. And by the way, he never did give it. Maybe because I didn't give him the attaboy or the pat on the back he was looking for. You can do what you want. You didn't need to tell me that, right? What am I? I don't need to know that. I'm not going to get up and say, oh, so-and-so, and I'm not a big fan of putting names on pews and all that. You know, hey, listen, really? Is that where we are? I don't see that in the Scriptures. Guys, listen, let's just love Jesus, amen? Can we? Let's just love Jesus. Let's keep the house of God adorned best we can. Let's keep it peopled by being here. Let's get some revival going on, because this is what revival looks like. When Josiah had an opportunity to change things in the revival, if we want revival in America, the first thing he looked at was, how's the house of God doing? And you remember what happened, right? He said, go fix the house. And they found the Bible. A lot of people would find the Bible if they go back to church. And when he found the Bible, he says, this doesn't look good. Go call some prophetess. And he asked her, ask her what she thinks. She said, man, things are bad. Well, that wasn't the message he wanted. But you know what he did with that message? He said, things are bad. But what we're going to do is we're going to have some revival. We're going to have a Passover. We're going to clean house here. We're going to get rid of the sodomite homes down there and the women who are making woven blankets for them. We're going to get rid of all the idols. We're going to get rid of all the idols, listen, that Solomon built. That's right in the passage. 23 of 2 Kings. Go read it. Revival starts with church. And people aren't in church. And our country is up against the wall. And we're saying we're going to rise up and fight. I wouldn't go near any battle if I wasn't right with God. You better get right with God. You're going to go into battle without God? You're going to tell God how this is going to work? You're going to take His word and you're going to use it as if it's your strong shield when you're not even in fellowship with Him? You just want to cuss around His name and His word and act like you are the bomb, because God would never judge America. Not the first time those kind of words have been spoken. That's what they thought in Ezekiel's day. They said, God will never destroy Jerusalem. The whole first half of the book in Ezekiel was that God was going to tear down Jerusalem. They kept saying, it can't happen, can't happen. Middle of the book, word came, it happened. See, America's not safe. We're not exempt. And if we want to talk about a revival in America, revival starts in the church. Not just the people which are the church, but in church. Because God's people come in and they hear things about God they didn't know. They're fortified and they feel better because they did what? They did the right thing. They didn't forsake the assembling of themselves together. All the way back in chapter 4 of the book of Genesis, you see God going to Cain, who was miffed because Abel was received in his offering of a bloody sacrifice, and his fruits and vegetables were not really noticed. They were overlooked. And God said to him, if you will do well, Cain, if you'll do well, it will be well with you. But sin crouches at your door, and its desire is to dominate you, to bring you into subjection. Sin is always afoot, and we need to be fortifying ourselves by doing the things we know that are basic ABCs. Just love Jesus. Just put Him first. Let the other stuff come. Godliness has promise of this life and that which is to come. So you don't lose a whole lot by just loving on Jesus. But you do lose a lot by not loving on Jesus. You forfeit your angels. You say your angels, your better angels people talk about. No. The Bible says that His angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of life. You want your angels? You keep it close to God.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.